the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, yes, we're going on a magical mystery tour this morning. If you're looking for a place to play a round of golf, because we've had some heavy rain on Kauai, for instance, Poipu Bay Golf Course is cart path only, but they've got tee times for if you need to get out and get about. You want to stay on the south side on Oahu. On the north side and the windward side, we've got a lot of rain, but you just need to give them a call and check it out. For instance, Ko'olina has a 12 o'clock, and Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 11:30, and the Makaha East Course an 8:40. At Poipu, there's a 9:50 and an 11:10, and Northern Cal MCA is going out to play, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Coming up, we're going to be talking first with Jerry King on fixing my swing, coaching the winning team in the 7th annual Asia Pacific Junior Cup, and the latest TaylorMade Golf SLDR, that's the slider, hybrid, and wood and driver. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Hey, Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, for details, or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako. Okay, we're going to be giving away some TaylorMade rocket balls this morning, of course. And the first caller and the ninth caller will win. The number to call is 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. And in the clubhouse now, top 100 instructor golf world, that is Golf Magazine, Jerry King. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I just have to thank you. I don't know how to do it, for fixing my swing by fixing my grip. It was not a small thing, because I mean, I fought you the entire time. If you'd like to read about this, go to aroundhawaii.com and you'll find my columns that I write every month. One of them is Get a Grip. And and when you gave me that title, Jerry, when you sent me the synopsis, it's like, Danielle, get a grip. But it meant so much, not only in how I held the handle, but also in, you know, when you're learning something, you tend to fight your instructor. I don't know if this is true for a lot of people, but you know, like, get a grip. You're learning something from the best of the best. Now, just settle down and don't fight him. Do a lot of students fight you?
You know, we're all the same. We're all human, Danielle. And whenever we're changing something, and especially in the game of golf, because you know how golf is, and it grabs us by the shirt, you know, a lot, and shakes us up. And when someone, especially with how you hold the club, they start messing with your grip, it's like, no, fear sets in. It's like, wow, how am I going to be able to hit the ball? Don't change my grip. And so, yeah, everybody goes through that. So, and you didn't fight me the whole time, Danielle. It was only for the first about 10 minutes. You know? And then once we got you past that first stage, which I call that awkward or almost denial stage, then it starts feeling a little bit more acceptable, a little bit more comfortable and then natural. You know, that's when you can start really working on it. And then I got to tell you, Danielle, you know, if the first 10 minutes you were high maintenance, the rest of the time you were low maintenance athlete. You were bombing it, and I love it.
it's real. I mean, it makes me want to go back, because now I know that I can hit that draw, and that felt so good. There's a lot of practicing that I need to do. I need to spend more time And that's really the bottom line, isn't it? You've got to, when you make the commitment, you got to keep going.
You know, and I agree, and well said, but it's not like, I don't want everybody listening to think that you have to go out there and practice for hours, and this, there needs to be balance. You go out there, and first you have to really understand, you have to kind of see what we're trying to do. And, you know, it's like for you, pad on top, thumb on top, getting your right hand on, checking the finger, keeping it that simple. Now, once you keep repeating that, it's getting closer to becoming a habit. But then we have to balance it with going out and playing, and it's perfect for you because you go out and play nine holes. So let's say you go 30 minutes and you practice on the range, and you're really going through step one, step two, training it, trying to make it a habit. Then you go out on the golf course, get comfortable. Get comfortable on the golf course. Even if you have a 10% improvement, it's 10% improvement. Then the next time you practice and then go out, there's another 10%. So you don't have to force yourself to be uncomfortable on the golf course, because I always want the comfortable athlete out on the course, not the tinkerer and the practicer out there when you're trying to have fun playing.
Yes, do that on the range and then go play.
Train it and trust it.
Train it and trusting your swing is so important. I mean, that's one thing I keep telling myself. Just trust it. Quit questioning it. You know you can do it. You saw the results. Now trust it. The other thing that you gave me was the cleansing breath. I mean, so many of us forget to breathe, and it's like critical. You need to stop a moment before you actually step in and take the shot. Breathe.
And it sounds so simple. Everybody's going, well, breathing. Well, we all breathe. But yes, but to really take a cleansing breath, you know, in through your nose, out through your nose or your mouth, and it's kind of belly breathing, baby breathing, you know, you're breathing from your belly.
Right.
And taking that cleansing breath, and I have too, and I don't even think about it anymore because I've trained it into my routine. But when I'm standing behind the ball, be it before I putt, before I make my full swing, and I'm looking down the fairway or I'm looking down the line of my putt, that's when I take a deep cleansing breath. And then that first step that I make to go in, I call that my step of commitment. I breathe, take that step. Now I've committed to all of my decisions, my club, my aim, etc. And then once I'm over the ball, I take another cleansing breath. And by that time, boom, make your swing and there's your shot.
Awesome.
And like I said, now it's trained. It's a habit. I don't even have to think about it. And it is amazing what it does for your game. Because when you take good breath, you're eliminating the tension. You're eliminating the thinking. So you're not thinking so much. You're just feeling. And like you said, Danielle, trusting your athlete.
Yeah, and the thing about the breathing, you get it down in your belly button, you know, you breathe, push out your tummy, get that breath really deep, because then your body's not struggling to get oxygen. And the more it struggles to get oxygen, the more hyper you get.
You know it.
Yes. Pretty soon you're like, ah! And it just
especially at type A plus golfers, right?
Yes. Yeah, type. Very nicely said. Speaking of gripping, I'm going to go to the clubs now before we go to the victorious Hawaii team and the 7th annual Asia Pacific Junior Cup. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the TaylorMade SLD Arc. Do we call them slider, driver, wood, and hybrid?
You know, that's what a lot of people are calling them. Us within the company, we're calling it SLDR. SLDR, but then, hey, heck, it's the slider. So you can call it, but it's the SLDR Fairway and Rescue. That's launching this next week on November 15th. That's when they'll be in the stores. And you know, it started with the SLDR driver. And the most amazing thing here, to keep it really simple, the holy grail of ball speed and distance is getting the center of gravity of the club low and forward towards the face. And with this SLDR driver and now the fairways and rescues, we've done that. And that gives us high launch with low spin. And Danielle, with the driver especially, it's the first driver ever that you actually have to add loft. I went from a 9 degree in my R1, 10.5 degree in the SLDR, because you have to add loft to get more distance. And when you add loft, you're making it more forgiving.
Wow. Well, I've got to ask you a couple. First of all, you guys made big news when you made the black R1, right?
Right.
Now, the SLDR has a gray crown. I've seen pictures at GolfWorks.
It's a beautiful-looking club. And
yeah.
You know, we've gone with that. And it's not like we've gone away from white. You know, we're still going to have a good mix of white drivers and white fairways. But with this SLDR ahead, not only in the driver, but the fairway and rescue looks exactly the same. It's more of a, you know, conventional, traditional look. And it sets up so nice. And I'll make this comparison, too, with the fairway metals. The Rocket Ball Stage 2 is 170 cc's. These are 140 cc's, so they're slightly smaller, shallower head, a little bit more of a player's look. And just they look so good. And that's step one. It's got to look good to feel good.
Yeah.
And then the performance of getting the higher launch with lower spin. I mean, yesterday, one of my star students, Taylor John McGarity, I was having him try out the new Rescue. And amazing. He was absolutely bombing it. High launch, low spin. And that's what all the players are going to see with this new equipment.
Okay. You changed something about the speed pocket. Is that important for us to understand?
Very important. You know, the speed pocket in the Rocketball Stage 2 was, I guess I could call it the canyon on the bottom of the head. Well, we've reinvented the speed pocket to where it's more forward, and now it's a cut-through design, and I'll explain that real quick. A cut-through means it just goes straight up through the bottom of the head to where it's not connected. We partnered with 3M, so there's a resin that fills it in that's really, really sturdy and doesn't fall out. So now I don't have the guest service guys complaining to me that they have to dig all the dirt out the bottom. Because now you don't have that. It's a cut-through design that's filled in with the resin, and it's much more efficient. It allowed us to get the center of gravity forward towards the face, and the performance is off the chart.
Awesome. There was also something I needed to ask you about. Is there 16 different ways, 16 tick marks between the draw and the fade on the driver that you can adjust it to?
There is. I think it's 15, and there's 30 yards of adjustment from draw to fade, and it's that 20 gram weight. It's so simple, and on the bottom of the sole plate, it says draw towards the heel and fade towards the toe. It's so simple. You don't have to take weights out and put them back in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazingly efficient, amazingly simple, and effective. I mean, you can slide that weight and now sit there and hit, you know, instead of hitting a 30-yard cut, now you can sit here and hit a, you know, 5-yard draw.
Well, I'm just giggling with happiness because the idea that you can adjust it by that says draw and then fade, you know, the other ones were, now the tool, is it the same tool if I bought a club that has an adjustable tool that, does the same tool work for the new
same
one?
Same exact tool, tool, yep.
So, okay.
And the tool that goes to where you can take the shaft off and move the head around, you've got 1.5 degrees of loft change. So with the driver, if you have the 10.5, you can take it to a 12 degree or down to a 9 degree. And it's the same thing with the fairway and the rescues. 1.5 degrees either way to change your launch angle.
Where are you going to show these next, soon, first?
You know, we have 2 demo events today. We have one at Ka'anapali here on Maui from 10 to 2. And we also have one at Leilahua Golf Course on Oahu today from 10 to 2.
Excellent. Okay. You're going to be at Ka'anapali, I betcha.
I will be there today.
Excellent. And so if you want to go talk to Jerry about setting up maybe a lesson, because it's his love. I mean, when you see Jerry and he starts talking to you about teaching you the game or something that's bothering you about your game, he just lights up. And it's wonderful working with Jerry King. We're going to talk about the Asia Pacific Cup right after this break, okay?
You got it.
And first I need to tell Louise Lewis. Louise, you are indeed the first caller, and you have won TaylorMade Rocket Balls, and I'll be sending them to you. And Jeff Duncan, you're caller number 9 in Opihi Town. I'm not sure where Opihi Town is, but it sounds like a fun place to be. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
And if you'd like to check out some golf clubs and at demo days, it's perfect. Go up to Lelehua or on Maui at Ka'anapali. They're having demo days today from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. And I highly recommend it. Plus, I think, you know, if you buy something at a demo day, you get a discount, right, Jerry King? We're talking with Jerry King, Golf Magazine Top 100 Instructor. Of course, TaylorMade's man in Hawaii. Do we get a discount if we buy at a demo day?
You betcha. And, you know, they always, all the courses that we partner with, and they have these tuning events, these product experience events, they're always running incredible deals because it is a special event, so they can do things that they usually don't. So, yes, definitely, I highly recommend. And it's the best time, too, because that's when you're actually getting out there and getting on the launch monitor and getting fit by a master fitter.
Exactly.
You know exactly what you're getting, and then boom, there you go.
Yes, you've got the person who's selling the club who's going to then fit you and then put the order in, and I think it even will get shipped to you if you're willing to wait.
Definitely.
A lot of people want to walk away with it, but it's really worth waiting for if you're going to have a club fitted for yourself. That's the best thing. The best thing was knowing that we are champions. After 7 years, I think we've won, was it once before, in the Asia Pacific Junior Cup, the 7th annual, and this is sponsored by Hilton Grand Vacations, and Waikoloa Kings Course has always held it there, and thank you so much for making this possible. But our Hawaii team, out of the little state of Hawaii, our junior golfers beat the best of Japan's junior golfers for the second time in the 7 years.
It's just amazing, Danielle, and to think that, you know, our team Hawaii playing against Japan, Japan's best players, they're selected from over 450 high schools in Japan.
Wow.
And so, I mean, a testament to the kids, and definitely one of the most fulfilling and gratifying experiences that I've ever had, because, you know, not only to captain them alongside Mary B. Porter King and Kathy Bright Torquiana, I mean, it's just fantastic. They came together as a team, united. They committed to a game plan and went out there and got the trophy.
Yeah, day one was four ball matches. We came out tied, 4-4, right? Then
that's
in
right.
The foursomes, things started picking up for Hawaii, and we walked away 2 points ahead going into singles. Was there anything that you said team spirit and teamwork was critical to our win? How did you see that?
You know, when we had our team meetings beforehand, we made a very specific game plan. And as a team, they came together, and we as captains as well, we all committed to several things to do as a team. And they did it. And, you know, it had to do with, you know, confidence and patience. And we had a game plan with the course itself. We mapped it out. And so everybody were speaking the same language and had the same game plan. And then to see them every morning getting together, the team captains, Johnny Oda and Tyler, and I'm telling you, they came together and huddled out on the range, and they did a chant and a prayer. So Spencer Dunaway, you know, from Oahu, had this prayer every day, and they came together as a team like I've never seen. And I'm telling you, chicken skin every single morning,
wow,
watching them come together and then go out and playing their hearts out. So
wow.
We were very proud of them.
16 Hawaii players gathered together to win this the Asia Pacific Junior Cup at Waikoloa Kings Course. It's just really wonderful, the idea, an idea from the gentleman from not Waikoloa, but the sponsoring hotel, all of the Hilton Grand Vacations. What is his
Mark
name?
Mark Wang.
Yes, Mark Wang. It was his idea. Mary B. Porter King ran with it, of course, and whenever she gets behind something, she gets everybody to work with her, like Jerry King. And Jerry King is on the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Board of Directors as well. Very busy man. But I understand that Ariel Hansen Elfman had a hole-in-one.
He did. I mean, you talk about being proud of a kid with talent. We put him out to lead the team as the first match on the final round of the singles. And he went out and had it all square through 10, and with a 5-iron on number 11, got an ace. And then on hole number 12, chipped in from off the green to go 2-up, and then he ended up winning it 3-1. I mean, he was just, and we gave him that opportunity. And I know the day before, and I'll say this real quick, Ariel, he missed like a 4-footer on the final hole to win the match, but they got the half. And afterwards, I went over to him and I said, we talked about Michael Jordan about always wanting the ball, and you might not make the last shot every time, but do you want that last shot? He looked at me square in the eye and he said, Jerry, he goes, I want the ball. Give me the ball. I want the shot. We put him out first. He went out and just set the pace to the team and got the win. And talk about exciting. I mean, it was just fantastic.
That is fantastic. If you'd like to be a part of this, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association volunteer for their events. It's that time of year to volunteer. We've got the Sony Open in Hawaii, Hyundai Tournament of Champions. They're all looking for volunteers right now, so get up. And are you the first tee announcer for the Hyundai Tournament of Champions this year?
I have been invited back, so it looks like I'll be up there barking the names down the first fairway.
Excellent, excellent. I sure hope I see you before then. I'll be there doing the show. And look forward to seeing you there and our next lesson.
Definitely, we have to keep it going in the right direction, Danielle.
Yes, thank you, Jerry King, for being on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, you can find him at jerrykinggolf.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. Coming up next, Ryan Harrington. We're taking it from junior golf to college golf, because it's just about the end. They actually do have a little bit of a break, the collegiate golf season. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the General Sales Manager, today for details, or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
I completely forgot to tell you what the final score was for the Asia Pacific Junior Cup. I was having so much fun reliving the thought of all the kids just playing their hearts out as they do every year. It was Hawaii 18 points over Japan 14 points. So a decisive victory for the Hawaii Juniors, and congratulations again on a great, great tournament. The next one coming up is the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions. Ryan Harrington is Golf World senior writer. He covers college golf. He's joining us now because the fall semester has just about come to an end. Yeah, finals are coming, and they give the collegiate golfers a break so they can do those fall, things like exams. I imagine that's what they'll be doing in final exams. So let's bring Ryan Harrington right into the clubhouse. Welcome, Ryan.
Hello, how are you doing, Danielle?
Excellent. The big story, I was looking at the big story that you mentioned, that we've got Alabama Crimson Tide still undefeated, and USC undefeated as well?
Yes, no, both in the men's and the women's game right now, we have two dominant teams that are the defending national champions and have both gotten off to great fall starts here, both winning every one of their tournaments here. They both wrapped up this last week with the Alabama men winning a tournament in California and the USC women winning right there in Hawaii to wrap up perfect fall season. So it's pretty impressive. In college golf the last few years, there's been kind of this thought of an era of parity where a lot of programs now are able to recruit players and have invested money into programs. So to have actually a team come out and be as dominant as these two have been is actually even more impressive given the way the college landscape has changed in recent years.
Now, what brought that change on?
Well, I think a lot of programs decided, on the women's side, adding women's golf to their staple of sports was a great deal for gender equity, as well as just obviously helping round out a college sports athletic program. So a lot of women's programs were boosted over the last few years. And then on the men's side, I think, the idea of having a strong men's golf program actually made a lot of sense for schools who use actually golf as a fundraising tool for the entire university. So to have to be able to boast of a solid golf team like at the University of Alabama, it's only been in the last 10, 15 years that they really made a major commitment to the sport, investing money in building great practice facilities. And now that the USC men, when they won the national championship last spring, it was the first men's program besides football to ever win a national championship at Alabama.
It's really exciting how strong golf teams have become, how important they've become to the collegiate landscape, not just to golf and how we, but also on property, on campus. These guys rock. They're athletes, right?
Definitely. No, Alabama, the men's golf team, was honored at halftime of one of the football games in the last few weeks and got their national championship rings then. And the USC women are recognized on their campus as being one of the best women's athletic programs they've got at that school. And this is the third national championship they'd won for that golf program under Andrea Gaston this last year. And then they knew coming back that they were going to have just a dominant team because all five starters were coming back. And then they recruited the U.S. Girls Junior champion and then a girl who finished runner-up in the U.S. Girls Junior a few years back. So they knew they were going to continue to be a dominant school here.
It's awesome. Kyung Kim is originally from Hawaii. She's not listed as from Hawaii because I think she's from Phoenix. You move to Phoenix. A lot of kids do that to get closer to the action if they're here in Hawaii. So it's really exciting to see her doing so well. But I got to ask you, how is UCLA number one and USC number two?
They were one and two via some computer rankings, which uses a lot of head-to-head scoring, and some of the opponents that UCLA had been beating because they had won their first couple tournaments of the year as well. So some of the opponents they'd been beating on a computer basis had helped them get the number one ranking in their poll. And our coaches poll, the coaches still figured USC should be the number one team after winning the national championship and coming back with this lineup here. But what it shows is that there are actually a lot of other good schools out there, too. That's the funny part of this whole thing. Both on the men's and the women's side, while USC and Alabama have been dominant schools, UCLA on the women's side is right there next to them and fighting for a national championship. And if on any given day the USC team doesn't play well, UCLA is just as good or just good enough to be able to win, obviously.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, last year, California won 12 tournaments during the year, but lost at the national championship. They, too, have three of their five starters back and really are still a very impressive team, and they've won three tournaments this fall, too. So if Alabama doesn't show up again in the spring, there are plenty of people to take that number one mantle.
Yeah, I was wondering, with Max Homa, and I can't remember the other boy's name that left California in his senior year and went on to play so well in different events. But I wondered whether they'd be able to be as strong without those two really good players or star players. But they've done amazing work. Amazing.
Well, they've got still Michael Kim, who was the college player of the year last year and was a low amateur at the U.S. Open. You might remember him at Marion. He actually was on the leaderboard for a little while there.
Yes.
He's back from the Walker Cup team. And Michael Weaver, who was the runner-up at the U.S. Amateur, was back too. So they had a pretty strong team, obviously, that was still coming back besides the departure of Max, like you said. And I misspoke. No, it's actually four guys coming back. So, they were going to be a solid team. But the funny part, obviously, was at the end of last year when Alabama won, everyone was like, well, you know, what happened? California was supposed to be the dominant team. And Alabama had won, you know, four or five tournaments in the spring, and they were a very, very good program. Obviously, to win the national championship, you had to be. And then they lost Justin Thomas, one of their best players, the college player of the year from 2 years ago. And yet they've come right back, too. They've got two guys from this year's Walker Cup team on their roster. So a lot of senior experience there. And obviously, it's proven that, that NCAA championship was no fluke.
No, absolutely not. And I just have to interject this. On Showtime, there's a fabulous movie coming up. And this has to do with football. It's Crimson Tide versus USC. When segregation was still a big issue in sports, it's about a football game that changed all of that. And I'm really looking forward to the end. When I saw Crimson Tide, you know, in USC in golf, it's like, wow, this is very interesting. Okay.
Parallel universes, yeah, definitely.
Yes, parallel universes, exactly. Hawaii's girls team are finished second, almost won the Rainbow Wahine Invitational for the first time in 20 years, lost by one stroke to Sacramento State. Now, obviously not a top 10 or top 20 school, the Rainbow Wahine golf team, but they got to host, and they host every year, the Pac-12 preview this year at Nanea Golf Club. It's the first time Nanea has ever hosted an event like this, opening up their gates to let people in. And they had UCLA and USC and Stanford and Washington and Arizona State all come in for this, the final event of the women's collegiate. And this, it was interesting for me when I went through the rosters, Ryan, it was, you know how global the LPGA is? I'm looking at their rosters going, okay, Stanford has a German gal. Washington has Sid Okino and Emi Koga, plus two Koreans, someone from Taiwan, and someone from China, someone from England. Arizona has Spain, France, and Australia. Arizona State has Colombia, France, Spain, and Australia.
Golf is the UN, definitely. It is amazing to see. And it's been like that on the women's game for some time, actually. We've had a fair number of international players who've played so well. And like you said, the UCLA team that's playing so well right now, they've got a woman who was on the Great Britain and Ireland Curtis Cup team this last year, Bronte Law, who won the tournament individually. USC has a German player, Sophia Popoff, who's a first-team All-American here, who's a senior. When you talk to college coaches about what they do on the recruiting trail, almost every one of them finds their way over to Europe at some point during the year to go watch some of the junior events over there because they know how stocked some of the different programs are there. And it really has become a very much an international, sport right now here, if nothing else. I think in part because some of the American players actually have decided that they were going to move beyond college golf. You know, think of the Paula Creamers and the Morgan Pressels and Michelle Wee, who decided to go right to the professional ranks. So college coaches have looked elsewhere to try to find, obviously, some diamonds in the rough, if not some even better players, and have stocked their rosters just like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see that these girls from around the world, of course, they want to play on the LPGA Tour because it's the best tour. It's the most lucrative tour. I shouldn't say best because the LET is a great tour, but it just doesn't pay as well as the LPGA. And so you kind of, people in our world, in our universe, equate good with money, right? If you get
sure
more
enough
money there, that's got to be better. But why are so many of our international players coming to the States to play in our collegiate programs?
Well, I think, you mentioned getting to go to such a beautiful place as the one that they played out there in Hawaii. And if I could come back in another life and be a college golfer, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I mean, they play in some fantastic places. They get to go all over the United States, if not, you know, over to Hawaii, over to Puerto Rico. They have some great events. So they get to play in some amazing golf courses. They get to do all this with scholarships to their school. So they get to have all this supervision and get all this paid for to a certain extent. It's a fantastic deal. And then, obviously, for those who maybe aren't going to necessarily make it on the tours, they very much do value the academic side of this. A lot of college golfers, they're away from school a lot, but they're all very, very committed to their academics. I've been impressed. I'm impressed by the fact that they do take school as seriously as they really do. And so I think they decide, come over to the United States, try it out over here, feel what it's like to live in the U.S., because if you're going to play on the LPGA Tour, you're obviously going to have to live over here for part of your year, and just kind of get exposed to here before professional golf comes around and decide whether that's really what they're going to want to do. So I think that's why it's become so popular.
Yeah. I think we also seem to have a really strong golf or sport program. I think we sort of do more in sports in the way of, at least in golf, than international schools do.
Yes, definitely. There's much more of a structured collegiate program here than there is overseas. And you know, there are some golf teams at some of these schools, particularly in the UK, but it's definitely not as structured. I mean, on the men's side, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who won the US Amateur Championship in August, he committed to play at Northwestern even before he'd won that. And in part, it was the fact that I need to continue to develop my skills, but I'm not ready to turn pro yet. Where do I go do it? And he decided that collegiate golf in the United States was the best avenue for that.
Interesting. The what comes to my mind next is we have so much advantage for U.S. players, but we seem to have so many really talented international players coming on so strong. And we're having Stacey Lewis, fighting for number one in the world. What is it? What is the disparity? Why are our international players that are quote unquote disadvantaged in the way of finding a way to actually play the game? They come to the States and then they seem to dominate. I'm not sure what the disconnect is there.
Well, I think to a certain extent, what you're finding is that right now, actually, the ability to get out and play for an international player is so much easier than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So the LPGA was naturally dominated by American players at that time because there was just no opportunities, really, quite frankly, for unless you were the most elite player over there to really, afford to be able to come over here and try to make it on the LPGA Tour. And similarly, worldwide men's golf, for a long period of time was so regionalized, the Europeans never really came over here because of the cost of it as much as anything. But now I think the college golf has allowed players to develop more. And then obviously the golf programs in their countries themselves have gotten so much better that there just are opportunities for the international players to thrive. And so I think it's not really, I take a little exception sometimes when people talk about the downfall of American golf. I would argue it's just that the rest of the world is actually improved very much. And it's only natural then for them to be able to compete at the elite level once they get to be professionals. And so I don't necessarily think it's a knock on the American program so much as the fact that the rest of the world is catching up.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The globalization of golf that was started, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, that has successfully created a whole bunch of great golfers globally. Now we've got to figure out how to grow the game on the recreational side and be as successful. That's
absolutely
the next challenge, right?
Yes, indeed. And if you've got the answer to that, I think you could become a rich woman.
Ryan Harrington, Golf World senior writer, Collegiate World. You also cover other things, and it's great reading you in Golf World. Thanks so much for being on the show, Ryan Harrington.
My pleasure. Take care now.
You too. We'll be back right after this talking with Keith Hirschland. He is the author of Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. My name is Danielle Tucker. We'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Acura TL Special Edition with secrets come power. The power of 280 horsepower of a 3.5-liter VTEC V6 engine. It's a power that must be respected, wielded with confidence, For a secret in the wrong hands is letting good power go to waste. The Acura TL Special Edition with 280 horsepower, paddle shifters, and sport styling. The best-kept secret on the road.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, today for details or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. We've got a tee time for you. If you're looking to play around at Kapolei, there's an 11-12. Ko'olina has a 12 o'clock. There's one at 11:32 at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club. All of those courses more than likely will see sun, because on the south side, at least of Oahu, it's sunny, at least for now. We will have occasional showers today. And I'm always surprised, in Mauna Willi near Kailua, oftentimes, Royal Hawaiian Country Club is dry when all around they're soaking wet. And speaking of soaking wet, they got a drenching on Kauai, and it is cart path only at Poipu Bay. There's a 9:50, an 11:10, and 25% off the sail rack, and a really great program that, if you know, for $25, you can go and practice in the afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock. And then play three holes of golf, and you get the cart, and you get range balls, and that practice time, and three holes, and there's a 3, 4, and 5 in the first three holes. So you get all for $25. It doesn't get much better than that, guys. You can also get gift cards, because it's that time of the year for us to start thinking, you know, get some holiday shopping while you're there. There's 25% off the sale rack. You might find yourself something there. They restocked it last week. And Travis Matthews shirts come with a free hat. So there's a lot of opportunities at Poipu. Let's bring into the clubhouse somebody who knows all about Hawaii, and he also happens to know all about what it's like to be behind the scenes of a golf tournament. He is a live golf television producer, that is, like in live action producing, which is something that when you have 15 people talking in your head at the same time and you have to figure out which one's the important one to answer. Keith Hirschland, also the author of Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Danielle, for having me. It's a pleasure to be on, and I look forward to chatting with you.
Oh, good. You know, when I was thinking about Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, what prompted that? That statement, tell us how that came about, the title of your book.
Well, you know, when I must have heard the phrase somewhere along the way, but it actually, in my mind, was the perfect rallying cry for the group of professionals that were gathered together to produce the very first live domestic golf tournament on the Golf Channel. So when we were starting to roll and getting ready to do our first live event back in, actually it was a practice event back in 1994 before Golf Channel actually went on the air. It just was one of those things at the last second I thought, I've got to figure out a way to get everybody kind of geared up and ready for the show. And before we went on the air and in the headsets, I just said, "Cover me boys, I'm going in." And everybody kind of chuckled and rallied around it. And for the next, you know, for every tournament and every broadcast that I have done since that day, I have said that right before the red light goes on.
You know what I thought of? You know those TV westerns we watched when we were kids?
Uh-huh.
I thought of, you know, the cowboy or the sheriff saying, you know,
right.
Cover me, boys. I'm going in.
Right. Well, you know, and it's every bit of jumping into the same foxhole. And
yes.
You want you want everybody to have your back, and you want everybody to know that you have theirs. So
yeah.
That's really what it was all about.
We I was talking about the Sony Open Hyundai Tournament of Champions, the first event here in Hawaii on Maui at Kapalua, then Sony Open. And we hear a lot about how difficult it is for the production team. You know, golfers just, you know, get on a plane, you know, they just fly over. All they got is their clubs. Downplaying that. But you guys, how hard is it? Were you here for the Windy Kapalua last year?
I wasn't there, I guess fortunately for me, no. And then the crew, the NBC crew, Tommy Roy's group that did that broadcast certainly had some challenges. I have done that tournament on a number of occasions before, both that and the Sony Open, and know logistically just how tough it is.
Hey, does anybody get any sleep?
A little bit. You know, you like to enjoy the surroundings as well when you're there. So that contributes to it. But you know that there, because of the time change and because of everything that's going on there, and you also, you know, it's a great event for the fact that you can be on from, you know, especially for that last group, from, you know, the very first tee shots until the putts are finished up at 18 green.
Yeah.
So you know, there's some long days, early mornings and late nights, but it's all worth it because it's the greatest job in the world.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful job. And then you wrote Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In, and the book came out, and you're very honest in the book about some of your failings, your personal failings. You know, your family and making choices, and they're difficult choices, but the quality of life was most important to you, both for yourself and for your family. And yet there was divorce and change and all those things that come about in people's lives. And then you lost your job after the book was published. Yeah, I'm asking, would you have done it? Would you have published the book knowing that was the outcome?
Yes. You know, I went in with eyes wide open. You know, the story came about, the book came about. I had no intentions of writing a book. And it's funny because my parents lived on Maui at Kapalua for about a little more than 30 years. And we lost them in the middle of, you know, 2006 and 2007, my dad first and then my mom. And we were over, my wife and I were over at their condo at Kapalua and, you know, kind of doing everything that you do when you lose your parents. And, you know, you're going through, what are we going to keep? What are we going to, I have two other brothers. So who wants this? Who wants that?
Mm-hmm.
And we came across a box of memorabilia that my mom and dad had, you know, and we went back through going through this box of, you know, awards that my father had won, letters that he had written. My mom and dad started a TV station in Reno, Nevada when I was growing up. So they started the CBS affiliate, which is now the CBS affiliate in Reno. And so there were all kinds of commendations and awards and letters from governors and presidents and things. And my wife, Sarah, looked at me while we were going through this box and she said, I had no idea how accomplished your parents were and how much they had done and how many places they'd been and things that they had seen. And she said, you've lived such an amazing life and done so much and been to so many places and worked with so many people and had the opportunities that very few people get to have. She said, don't let this be your kids when you're gone, looking into a box and saying, my God, you know, Dad won an Emmy and my gosh, Dad produced major championships and Dad was, you know, there and Dad was there when Tiger Woods first turned pro. And so it was really supposed to be a journal, just a you know, remembrances and things that I had done, leaving that for Jared, Haley, and Jake. And as I started writing it, I realized that some threads tied together and some things turned into this, and this story led to that story, and all of a sudden I had a 510-page book.
Wow. It is really a good book. It's a real good read. I'm enjoying it because it takes us behind the scenes. I recommend that you get this for a friend, for a young person who's making choices in life. you know, sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards, and that's really difficult to see. And sometimes you have to take a job that's not going to pay you a whole bunch, but it gives you a whole bunch of experience, and that's difficult to take because you've just come out of a 4-year college that cost your parents a gazillion dollars.
Yeah,
but you sometimes you just got to do that because there is nothing like experience. You got to work for your way up the chain so that you know what happens on all levels. And there's that television show that brings the boss down into the bottom of the food chain, and all of a sudden he goes, wow, I had no idea all this stuff was happening. Well, you need to know all the stuff that's happening for you to be good at what you do, which is exactly how Keith Hirschlin, the author of Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, started. He started in a television station that his dad, I mean, how old were you when you first walked in and started helping out?
I was 17.
You know, but you were around as a child, weren't
yeah,
you always?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You were always around it, and it becomes like second nature for you to understand that there's this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment. And then you're in front of the camera and behind the camera. All of this is in this book. It's a really good read. Can I ask you some things that are going on in golf?
Sure.
Well, first of all, are you going to be on that Fox team producing USGA events?
Knock on wood. I would love to be a part of that team. I think it's really exciting. I think it's great for golf. I know that there are some folks that are skeptical about it, but I think any time that you bring a new set of eyeballs and a new group of people that are clearly, you know, creative and clearly know how to do big event television, I think that can only be good for the sport.
Yeah.
To have a fresh perspective. They have some really talented people out there in Los Angeles that work for Fox, and you know, I'm sure that they're building a team that they're going to be really proud of. And you know, I've been producing USGA events since 2005. My first USGA event that I was in the chair for was the Women's AM at Setting Down Creek in outside of Atlanta when Morgan Pressel won. So I love USGA events. I think the amateur events and the match, you know, the fact that match play goes from, you know, stroke play to match play to 32 matches on Wednesday all the way down to one on Sunday is some of the most exciting golf that you can be a part of, and most challenging because, you know, you have to really find stories and tell stories. So I'd love to, you know, if I can help those guys, I'd love to be a part of that team.
You are probably one of the most patient people I know, because when you read John Hirschlin's book, Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, he moved from the East Coast to the West Coast on a promise that he would have a meeting with somebody who was going to get him a job, a very important meeting with somebody who was in a very important position. How long did you wait for the meeting to get that job?
It felt like forever. It ended up being probably about 18 months, I guess.
18 months, and he never stopped calling that office every day to see whether he could make that appointment. He even took jobs like game show. I'm going to go and try out to be on a game show. That, sir, it never occurred to me that you could be like make that a business.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, there are people that, you know, it's almost like professional game show participants. It was funny, and I ran into some of them. It was great. It was a flyer. It was an ad in a newspaper, and I had time on my hands, and I figured, you know, I'm fairly intelligent. I have all my teeth. I'm good. You know, I can be on a, you know, I can represent myself pretty well on a TV game show. And that also turned out to be an ordeal, which is, I think, a fairly interesting story in the book.
It is. It's a very interesting story. It opens up a whole new, there are pockets of life that you don't know exist. And to be able to read and find out, wow, this is a pocket that I didn't know existed. It's a wonderful, it's just an exploration, and thank you for sharing everything. Now, on the PGA of America, you know, moving the PGA Championship to a foreign country has elicited some strong response from people.
Yeah.
What do you think about moving a championship out of town?
I guess you can count me in the camp of the folks that I don't really understand the move and why that, I mean, I understand why they're thinking about doing it, to, you know, all the things that they say, you know, in public, and then all the things that I'm sure they say in boardrooms about growing the game and expanding the reach of the game, and all that stuff is important and necessary. But, you know, it's a national championship. And I think that there's something about it that just rings a little, you know, kind of just a little off to me to conduct a national championship outside the nation. And part of the thing that I think, and as a producer, I have been extremely fortunate to be the only person that has ever produced the PGA Professional National Championship as a live broadcast. And I've done that 18 years in a row. We started broadcasting the PGA Professional National Championship in 1997. And the fact that the PGA Championship is an opportunity for what is now 20 of America's, not professional golfers, but America's golf professionals to play in a national championship, part of me wonders how it affects them. I mean, these are guys, as you know, you deal with guys, you know, and there are folks in Hawaii that play in this championship every year.
All the time.
You know, now all of a sudden you're going to say, well, this year's event is going to be in China, and you're going to have to not only leave, you know, a lot of these guys leave their, you know, they hold events on Monday of championship week, then get on an airplane and fly and compete. And then when Sunday's over, or if they happen not to make the cut, they go back on the weekend and have a member guest. You know, well, now all of a sudden you're asking somebody to make a commitment that's not only that, you know, kind of unsettling, but then to ask them to travel to a foreign country to do it, I think is, you know, maybe they're not thinking about that, you know, kind of nucleus of the people that they represent.
I totally understand what you're saying. And what I thought to myself is, well, if they're going to raise the purse to $10 million, why instead don't they just take those 20 PGA professionals who've earned a spot, the PGA Championship, and pay for them to go to wherever in the world that they want to hold this event?
You know, there you go.
Subsidize their travel. Then you're growing the game in lots of ways. You're exposing the PGA professional to all these different cultures, all these different people. He's able to interact and make a difference that way in growing the game. I just seemed like, I know exactly what you mean, because it does cut out. How is somebody going, Keith Hirschlin from Maui, who is a PGA professional, going to be able to fly to China for a week, you know, and hang out in, those hotels aren't inexpensive. Not if,
right?
I mean,
And this is the jewel in the crown for those guys. You know, it's those, you know, and there's 300 of them that compete in this national championship. You know, one for the Walter Hagen Cup and the honor to be named the best of the PGA professionals. But then the nugget is also that, you know, one of those 20 spots to go compete in a major championship. And that, you know, for a lot of these guys, that's, you know, that's, their clubs are number one, but the ability to represent those clubs at this national championship and then at the major is what really drives a lot of them.
The other thing about raising this purse to $10 million to grow the game, I thought, wait a second, you know, you're talking about growing the game. This just, $10 million, really? Really?
Yeah.
There's so many people who can't even relate to that. You know, the fact that these guys walk around and walk away with so much money, it has nothing to do with the average golfer. We can't relate to that sort of money. And
yeah, and I mean, I talk about it in the book, you know, that, you know, when I started working in golf television in the late 1980s. So I was fortunate enough to get that job at Olmeyer Communications. And at the time, they were producing all of ESPN's golf. And of course, Don Olmeyer is the father of the skins game. And we would do features on the fact that Arnold Palmer was the first player to earn $1 million in his career. Curtis Strange, I think it was 1989, was the first player to earn $1 million in a year. Well, now you win a golf tournament and you win $1 million. And I think, to your point, at a certain point, the golf fan, suddenly you kind of, it becomes a little bit over the edge, and all of a sudden it's like, why do these guys need to play for $10 million? And like you say,
keep the purse at $8 million, which is an incredible amount of money.
Yep.
And if you're going to think about raising the purse, take that $2 million and like you said, give it to charity or promote new ways to get junior golfers into the game, or take that, or let the players decide. You know, I don't know what, but to me, just adding it to the purse almost seems counterproductive.
Yeah, it did to me, because I was waiting for this great announcement about how the PGA Tour and the PGA of America were going to be working together to grow the game, and I thought, oh, you know, and then it's like, what, $10 million? What, that's how is that going to grow the game?
Right.
You know,
right.
Most of us in the game of golf can just kind of scratch out a living, if that, you know, and
right.
So many people do it just for the love of the game, and it just didn't make any sense. Hold on just a second. We got to take care of the FCC. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and so it just really took me aback, and I was disappointed. I was just very disappointed in their decision to do that. We're talking with Keith Hirschland. He is the author of Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. It's a book about his life, about how where he grew up, our lives are very similar. But when my family went on vacation, we couldn't afford those hotel rooms with the pools. We camped along the way. But what was fun is reading about you drove, right? Vacations were about driving places, not flying.
Absolutely. Part of it was my mother had an intense fear of flying, which was interesting whenever the only way to get to Hawaii. And, my family has some great Hawaii roots. But, you know, that she did on an airplane for that. But anything else, she was, but we're getting in the car. And we had some great family vacation where you just pile in the station wagon, you know, the three boys in the back, mom and dad in the front, and you know, those were our family vacation in the car, and you know, family time and stopping along the way at motels and you know, places along the highway. And for us, you know, we didn't care about the quality of the hotel or the motel as long as it had a pool.
As long as it had a pool. I learned how to swim when I went on a vacation with some neighbors. They wanted to go to Palm Springs, which was way out of my family's budget, but they took us, my sister and I. I learned how to swim in a pool, even though I lived on the beach in California.
That's funny.
Diving for quarters, you know, throw that
right,
and go
right.
Get it, you know, just, and spent hours absolutely deliriously happy, right, just because the pool was there. So completely relate to that. It's a real pleasure talking with you. We need to take a commercial break. Can you stand by? Standing by. Okay. We're talking with Keith Hirschland, the author of Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the General Sales Manager, today for details or visit them today, 777 Alamoana Boulevard in Kakaako.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We've been talking with Keith Hirschland. He's a live golf TV producer. He is the author of Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In. Are you coming back soon to Hawaii, whether it be for just to hang out or, who knows, maybe a project you've got in the works?
Not soon enough. I loved the fact that when I was working with Golf Channel, that there was at least one trip a year to the islands. And in my earlier career, it was an opportunity to see my parents, and since they passed, you know, they're at Makawao now up on Maui. So any chance to get back and say hi to them there is
a beautiful place
meaningful.
To be.
Yep.
Makawao.
It is.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So we'll be back. We still have property there, so it's a little tougher living on the East Coast if there's not a reason to go and to try and find the time and, you know, between busy schedules. But we try and get back at least once every year to 18 months.
Well, I'll have to have you on the show again soon. Michael Patrick Shields is coming up next. You've been listening to Keith Hirschland. Okay, Keith Hirschland, it's an amazing story how he waited on the West Coast to get the job of his dreams, did whatever he could to survive to get there. When he did, he had to make choices because he got the job of his dreams, and then another job of his dreams came along. A wonderful story. Give this to your friends who are into sports, television production, what goes on behind the scenes, golf, and kids. I really recommend it for you. It's called Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In. The author's name, Keith Hirschland. You can find it online or in your bookstore. Thank you for being on the show, Keith. Really a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I hope you have me back.
I will have you back on because we'll talk all about other things, golf.
Beautiful.
We're going
Great.
To
Sounds
end
good.
Tia now with Michael Patrick Shields. Michael, are
well,
you?
Aloha. How are you, Danielle?
I'm fabulous. I'm sorry I got cool. the time all messed up. It's
we've changed the daylight savings time now for those of us who don't have sun all day long like you do in Hawaii.
Yes, we don't observe it. So you get closer. Now you're it's like 5 hours closer to me. Are you on East Coast time still?
Yeah, Anguilla, where I was, is actually on Atlantic time, so that's an hour even further out in the Caribbean there, in the eastern end of the Lower Antilles, and actually you fly into St. Martin, and this is the most fun part. St. Martin is a very significant airport for connecting to almost anywhere in that part of the world, but as soon as you leave the airport, you get on a boat to get to Anguilla, where you're going. So you'd sort of fun that you'd like get right immediately into your vacation. As soon as you land, you know, you just get your bags and they take you on a little shuttle about 200 yards, and there you are all of a sudden in on a boat. Immediate immersion into the fun that you came there for. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're on a launch.
I guess that's a nautical term. Sure.
Have the launch take me, please. I'm going over. I'm going to just pronounce it the way it looks like, but it throws me off. Cuisinart Resort Golf. Cuisinart, is that how they pronounce it?
Cuisinart. It's the same as the people who make the cooking devices.
It
Cuisinart.
Is.
It's owned by the same guy, and he felt that it'd be fun to brand the resort with the Cuisinart name. It's on Anguilla, so it's about a 20-minute ferry ride. They have little flights, too, but I recommend the boat.
Yes.
You get on board, and they give you a rum punch and a Presidente or a Caribe beer, if you like, and you can see the resort as you're approaching in the boat, so that heightens the sense of anticipation. And Anguilla is an English territory, I guess, which a commonwealth is what you would call it, so you do have to go through customs at this little dock, and so it's quaint and cute. And then when you get there, it's a combination of a culinary experience, a golf experience, and, of course, those powder sand white beach, brilliant azure blue water that you think of when you think of the Caribbean.
It is absolutely gorgeous in pictures. I was stunned.
Yeah.
I love the architecture. The soft sort of Spanish arches and stuccos.
Yeah, you know what it looks like? It has those white buildings like you would expect to see in Greece.
Yes.
And it's all alone there, all alone. So when you get there, you take a pile of books or whatever it is that keeps you company and just expect to completely relax.
Wow. This is the Arawak Indians. It seems to have a very rich culture here.
What happened to, I'll tell you, funny you mentioned culture, but anybody who's a Jimmy Buffett fan knows that he has this album called Live in Anguilla. And it was performed right next to the resort at a little bar called the Dune Preserve, which was a ramshackle, kind of falling apart bar right on the beach, open air. And there's a guy there called Banky Banks, who's a local legend. He's a dreadlocked musician and kind of guy who just, you know, is so cool you can't stand it. He just hangs around all day and serves beer and smokes marijuana. And they built a stage that looks like a boat next to the facility. So Jimmy Buffett did this concert there, and it's quite legendary because you see Buffett at the beach singing, and there were 3,000 people hanging from the rafters all around there. And so if you go, you want to get some culture, as you say, you could walk next door and visit Banky Banks. He likely would be in there. You'd likely have a rum with him. And in my case, you know, he didn't know who I was or anything, but he pulled out his guitar and he sang the song he sang with Buffett on the stage, which was called Stuck in Paradise.
Yes.
And that was really cool. Really, that was a really iconic moment. And that's what you always, I think, look for when you travel. If you want to be somewhere, you want to have a real sense of place and an iconic moment like that. And so while you're staying at a fancy resort like the Cuisinart, it is fun to go next door and meet the local legend, and that's a good chance to do it.
It's like when I go to TravelTattler.com, Travel Tattler with two T's, .com, I was looking up what you wrote about Ko'olina, and it was all about your experiences snorkeling offshore. What is the gentleman's name?
That was the fellow. He's Sean. It's an Irish last name, which is why I like so much.
Yeah.
And he just bought a boat, man. He got tired of being an airline pilot. And he flew in the war, and he bought a $1 million boat and took a chance and put the boat in the water at Ko'olina. And for 10 years now, he's been taking people out snorkeling on this giant catamaran. And he took a risk. He told me, you know, he literally was on the boat. So he spent, whatever it was, 3 hours out there off Ko'olina. And he said, yeah, when I bought the boat, I used to sit at the dock with my feet hanging over the side, wondering if anyone's ever going to show up. And now it's almost always virtually sold out from the Ko'olina Harbor there.
That's fantastic. This is travel writer Michael Patrick Shields. He has journeyed to more than 35 countries, countless tourist destinations, studying travel industry methods and trends at TravelTattler.com. You can read all about it, okay? He has also published and written, collaborated on titles with Larry King, Donald Trump, Emmy Award-winning golf commentator Ben Wright, golf architect Arthur Hills, and he wrote a Four Dummies book, which we can all relate to in the world of golf. Michael Patrick Shields, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's a Greg Norman course there at Cuisinart, and if you get to in that part of the world, it's a beautiful place to visit. And I'll talk to you next from, I think, Casa de Campo in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, fabulous, and I'll get the time right.
No worries.
Kathy Bright-Tortiana is on next, and we're going to wrap up the Asia-Pacific Junior Cup and give you some tips that you could use to play that Greg Norman course. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter life crisis.
Stop by your local Hawaii Acura dealer today and take luxury to a whole new level.
Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style with no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, today for details or visit them today, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard in Kaka'ako.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. Joining me now is someone who knows USC very well. Her name is Kathy Bright Torquiano, LPGA coach, instructor, and one of the coaches of the victorious, yes, 2013 Asia Pacific Junior Cup. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Oh, good morning, Danielle.
Absolutely wonderful experience that you had in Waikoloa at the King's Course.
It's remarkable. You know, watching kids grow, learn, bring the best out in themselves, and maybe having a little bit to do with it is there's nothing better.
What's the difference between instructing and coaching?
Oh, I think they're very similar. They're very similar. Coaching is less technical. You know, you have to go through the technical part, just like when Jerry. He taught you your grip, but he coached you into doing it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
that's perfect. That's perfect because it's exactly right. And just reminding me as the hour progressed, you know, as we've tried different clubs, and then reminding me, is your arm straight? You know, pat on top, breath. You know, it's like
Exactly. It's you're eliminating coaching. You're trying to eliminate the negative. You know, there's so much time in golf, and there's so many crazy things that can whirl around in your head. You don't even try to be negative, but it's hard to not look at the lake or the wind or something like that. So you just coaching. I've always reinforced the positive.
I'm still at the stage where I'm still questioning whether or not I'm, you know, am I standing right? Am I this right? Am I that right? Am I, you know, wind and lake. I'm just, my brain is still questioning whether I've made the right decisions about what I'm doing right now.
Okay, well, those are still negative thoughts.
And exactly.
Those are still, you know, they're ingredient thoughts. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
And they are negative, you know, and if I just trust that I've, you know, just trust it, just go for it. Let the body do what the body can do. If you're relatively good at throwing a ball, you know, just know that you can do it. And we question, I think you put the handle, that club in between your hands, your body, and the ball, and something happens.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When it works.
Sure. Your setup is like a checklist, you know, feet right, okay, hands right, check, line up, check. You know, it's your pre-shot routine is allowing you the ability to then trust it. So just check them off, don't worry about them.
I love it. Just check them off. And when you line up with your target, you line up behind the ball, not as you're standing sideways to the ball.
Correct. Our eyes are meant to look straight ahead. We have two eyes. You know, if we had eyes on the side of our head, we could do it sideways, but we don't. So you need to be looking straight ahead to see it accurately. And that's the whole process of finding the spot and then the parallel line and all those things I'm sure he taught you.
No. I'm a work in progress. I've always.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He was very complimentary. We had a lot of time together, and he said, "My favorite students are good women athletes."
Oh, that's so nice!
It's so nice, which means that, and you fit into that category.
Okay, I think.
They listen well, and they can do it. So he was really, really proud of you.
You must be really proud of the USC team that you coached for 12 years. Kathy Bright and now Kathy Bright Tortiana coached USC to, was it five top 10 NCAA finishes?
Five top fives. We only missed the top 10 three times. So I was 80 to 93 was my tenure there. The team had been in existence for 2 years before that, and I had been coaching at Cal State Fullerton. This was just in that whole beginning, like you were talking with Ryan. There weren't many teams. I mean, when I retired in 93, there were 123 golf teams in Division 1, 2, and 3 total.
Wow.
For women. Now it's really, I don't want to overquote, but I know it's over 500. It's really close to 600.
Marvelous, the work that's being done globally, too. If you know, you heard that, right? I mean, it really surprised me when I went through the rosters, even though I know a lot of young people come to the States to take... Mm-hmm. To take advantage, and I don't mean that negatively. I mean they get the college education and the experience on the golf team.
Oh, it's the ultimate compliment that they want to come here. It's in essence a free mini tour with excellent competition.
Yeah.
Plus all the benefits of being on a team and being out of college. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really did. 23 years. Was the annual Kathy Bright Open played in honor of you?
Well, except when I used to work in the recreation department. Yeah.
It's so cool, though.
They called it the CB Invitational. It was hilarious. It was just all my buddies. But yeah, they keep doing it.
It is still going on?
Yeah, and actually this is 125 years of USC athletics. So what they're doing at each football game is honoring sports and having those alumni teams come back. And since Andre has done such an incredible job with the golf team, they gave them the UCLA game, which has always been a premier. So I'm going to go back and see actually my first team is coming and a lot of players. So we're going to be we get to go on the field during the game and all that stuff. So. Yeah,
that is so cool.
It's so cool. That's USC's big deal is tradition and alumni and stuff. They're very good about that. So I'm very excited.
I would. When are you going?
It's the Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving. So we'll leave on Thanksgiving and that's that Saturday.
Now when USC was in town, did you go to their game?
Yes.
That football team?
Yeah, of course. Because that's another time to see all your buddies. It's fun.
Right. It must be weird, though, living in Hawaii, being so attached to Hawaii, and having your team come here to play against Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I found this great Aloha shirt that had a little bit of red and yellow, but mostly green. So I sat on the 50. Yeah, it's good.
I was listening to somebody who was talking about, you know, what you do when you go to a sporting event, you know, just for the giggles, and it's just, it tears you up, you know, it's like, okay, you find yourself cheering for both sides, which is not a bad thing. So with the Hawaii team beating the Team Japan in the Asia Pacific Junior Cup, what did you see? It was 18-14. That's tremendous, by 4 points.
Yes. Oh, what Jerry said was absolutely true, but the team really they got together themselves. They were a really good group of kids. Not too many let's say outstandingly different personalities, okay? So they cooperated well. And you know, Jerry, his enthusiasm is infectious and the game plan really helped and we coached them very hard, but they ended up coming together. I mean, I cannot emphasize Spencer Dunaway's prayer enough. I mean, it was just so moving, and it was cool. It wasn't, you know, they've always done a cheer, but that was just a little different. And you know how spiritual Big Island is. I think it might have helped.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that was great. And then Mary B got the. Little devices, kind of like a mini iPad, and the kids each had one in their bag, so after every hole, they would report the scores. It was amazing. You know, and Mary B knows everyone on Earth and the USDA, so they sent them for us to use. And what was so fun is we were able to, Jerry and I were in the car, and we said, look at Justin Yan's three up. And so we could go right there to see him and so forth. It really helped us be efficient in our presence with the kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you knew where each player stood, especially in singles.
Yes, and there, like Sean Liu played beautifully for us, and but we looked on the score thing, and he was three down. So we saunter over to him, and he said, "I'm actually fine. This kid's just made two birdies and eagle." He goes, "I'm even par. There's nothing wrong with me." He goes, "I'm just in the buzzsaw." So it was cute. You know, we could. And he made, like I said, Sean scored twice for us, so he was beautiful. That was just funny, yeah.
That is great for him to recognize that, hey, I'm not doing bad. This guy you know.
If you're getting beat by birdies, you're not getting beat. That's just amazing.
And an eagle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He goes, "I'm fine." He goes, "Don't worry about me, I'm fine."
Oh, where do you teach?
I'm at the Wailea Golden Emerald. I'm an independent contractor with the Wailea courses.
So if we call Wailea to take a lesson with you, we can do that?
Yes, please do.
Oh, good. So and just call the pro shop?
Yes.
Excellent. I know the Wailea Emerald course has a couple of tea times today. Let me see if I can find that. Yeah, good. 9:30 they've got on the Emerald course. There's a 9:30 a tea time if you'd like to play if you're on Maui. And the Better Half group is going out. The Better Half. It's a golf club, and I love the fact that they give themselves names. You know,
yeah, it's so cute.
Isn't it? It's great. There's a Southside Men's Club on Kauai. They play all the time, various courses. Better Half is going to be at Emerald, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Do you recommend individual or group lessons? How do you like to teach?
Well, it's group is. Group is fine with me. I actually kind of like twos with another friend because it gives you. I do primarily private, but if you have a friend that comes with you, that person can listen and help reinforce what we say, and also they can learn by watching. It's like having a video right there, and it also encourages you to have someone to go practice with. That's one thing.
That's exactly right. Plus,
yeah.
While you're working with one person, then they can, then you move over to the other person, then the person you just were working with, they can kind of do it by themselves a little bit.
Right, because you don't want to be talked to every swing. You can't think of everything. There's time to, where, you, like you said, you just need to work it out yourself, but it's also on the clock, so you want to give them their information.
How often should people come for a lesson?
Oh, I'd say... depending on what your process is, if you've been playing for a while and you need a tune-up, you obviously, I'd say once a month or something like that. But if you're learning, I think every week is good. Not too much, because you do need time to absorb it.
I like that. You know what else I find? I find that since Jerry fixed my grip, that when I watch television swings, I can see, and since I've been practicing what he taught me, I can start feeling my body respond to what it's seeing on TV. It's a bizarre feeling.
No, but you're watching more intelligently. You know what you're watching now.
Yes, I feel confident in what I'm doing, and exactly the confidence brings out the intelligence.
And that's going to keep reinforcing it because you're watching good things.
Yeah.
When I was coaching, I didn't play. But every year when I play in the fundraiser, I got better. I said, "How did that happen?" But I realized that I was watching good swings. I mean, as my team got better, I absorbed it.
Okay, now don't sit there and say, "See, if I just watch, that'll be the same as practicing." Okay?
Oh no 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 oh, no 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 no. But like I said, you're evaluating. See, I was obviously watching intelligently. Knew what I was watching. So yes. When you now that you know what you're watching and you watch golf, it's just going to keep reinforcing good stuff.
Kathy Bright Torchiana, thanks so much. You can find her at Wailea Emerald Course. Give them a call and make an appointment for a lesson on Maui. There is a demo day today at Ka'anapali with Jerry King. That starts at 10 o'clock. Thank you, Kathy.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And thank you for making the golf show possible. It's called The Golf Club. It's brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Acura of Honolulu has an incredible offer for well-qualified buyers. No payments for 90 days on all 2013 and 2014 Acuras in stock. Ride through the holidays in style, no payments until February 2014. Call TJ Jones, the general sales manager, for details today. Call him today or visit them today at 777 Alamoana Boulevard in Kaka'ako. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. They cut together and made an absolutely gorgeous course. And if you got to tee it forward, tee it forward. Have fun. It's Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, maybe. Yes, get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection's what you need. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.